Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Is Elon Musk the richest person on the planet? Maybe less so.
Where's Bezos?
I believe he is. His net worth is $210.7 billion, which is the he's tops on the Forbes list.
Okay.
I'd say that he was in Memphis. He was touring the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium renovations because he wanted to check out a Memphis football game. No, that's not why he was here. The rumblings are that there's going to be a Tesla plant in Memphis, that maybe the old Electrolux building would become a – that's just rumblings – but that he would build a Tesla plant here. So, I did see a Cybertruck on the road for the first time in Memphis.
Yeah, it's here.
That thing is
There's been pictures
hideous.
Of it. I saw it on Mount Moriah.
It is ugly. That's very ugly. That truck is just, oh my God. It's like the pictures make it look great, you know, like when you see like the renderings and stuff. And
but it's still like when you see an ugly celebrity. They're still a celebrity, so it still makes you turn your head when you see this tank-looking thing rolling.
Right. No, I saw it in Germantown, actually. I saw it... I was like, oh my God, I didn't think we'd see one here. But
oh, yeah, the pictures are out there. I think there may be more than one now just because one's been spotted so much.
Yeah. Do you think it will be a hot target for our carjackers in Memphis?
The good thing is it's bulletproof.
Is it?
Yeah, I think you can shoot it and it doesn't pierce. It'll just kind of pop, stress tested. Yeah, we'll give it its due here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of wonder that. Like, but it's such an ugly vehicle.
How come Mike doesn't get one?
That's a good question. I believe Mike does have or has had some Teslas in the past.
Yeah, seems like a Tesla guy.
But I don't know what
actually an update. It won't pierce it. It appears to not totally be bulletproof.
Yeah, so don't test that.
It'll leave a dent. Pierces it.
Okay.
So Mike needs one of these. I did see it too in Germantown. I think there's a couple of them. I think they're starting to float around now.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, the rich folks are paying $90,000 for the base model Cybertruck.
Yeah, the market is down on Tesla, as is the stock. But I just feel like it'd be like, you know, unless you install one of the things at your house.
It's got to be in your garage, yeah.
Yeah, like.
Charging station.
I don't know how many of them there are, you know, in Memphis. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how, I don't know where they are. So anyway, I saw that on Twitter, and you know, I don't know if that had been.
We have charging stations though. There's one over by Dave and Buster's, and there's also one in Germantown over at the high end Whole Foods.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know,
I've seen a couple of those.
Seems like a hassle.
Elon, richest man in the world in Memphis over the weekend.
Plus, they you know, in the cold, they could give you some problems. I read about that last winter in Chicago. A lot of Teslas weren't starting.
You're a gas man.
All day.
You're like a Henry Ford.
I'm Mr. Filler Up.
You people are weirdly protective.
I like putting gas in my truck.
People love gas.
Gas, man.
It's like, you ain't taking my gas away from me, son of a bitch.
Like my guns. You're not taking my
exactly.
gas.
Exactly. It might as well be in the Constitution.
Because I know what's going to run on this.
My gas.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the two G's of America, guns and gas.
I'm taking my gas from me.
You know?
These cars driving themselves.
I really
like
am not
demolition
harsh.
Man.
I mean, I wonder if people are like that. My steam, you don't take my steam away from me for gas.
Gas is my control. Understand? It's representative of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not under the control of a battery.
Correct.
Or a charge.
That could give out on
doesn't
you.
Doesn't work in the winter.
Right. But, I mean, it's not really in your control because at any point, the price of gas could get jacked up on you.
But what have we done historically? Pay it.
Yeah, we paid it, but it ain't never been $10 a gallon.
You tell Elon, get out of here. We got our gas in Memphis.
You're a gas man, it seems like, to a limit. You ain't no $10 a gallon gas man, though. You'd be switching to a Tesla at $10 a gallon.
Oh, no. Again.
You'd pay $10 a gallon?
If I got to.
Number one,
I'm going to have $2 off at Kroger. Because of the home delivery. Get you them Kroger points. They save you on gas. I will pay it. I'm not doing electric, whatever that is, battery power.
No matter what the cost.
No.
$15 a gallon.
It's going to be $13 for me. $2 off each gallon.
Oh, I mean, you just are saving a ton.
Again, we do this as a nation. We will pay it.
Oh, I know.
Gas.
But we've never
really
paid.
You just said it. Tesla stock down.
It's down.
You know, this move
maybe
over.
Maybe it's a buy.
It's not happening as quickly as we'd hoped.
Well, you may have a Tesla plant in Memphis, right here in Memphis.
What the hell does Arthur Kaluma drive?
Hey, if he likes Teslas, which a big bag from Memphis might, you know, warrant.
He could get the truck.
He could get it. He could be right here in Memphis. So it's interesting that you bring that up. Arthur Kaluma, obviously, is one of the prime targets for the University of Memphis as they are trying to replace David Jones, who is keeping his name in the draft. There have been reports from multiple people, Parth, Hitmen Hoops. You've seen that yesterday, that Memphis is the early favorite, considered a big favorite, wide favorite, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I did get an interesting text today, and I'm just passing this along just because it's interesting, you know. And I don't know sort of what to believe at this point, but basically people around Arthur Kaluma are telling others as of this morning that Memphis is involved, but maybe not to the extent yet that the reports would seem to suggest. They've called, but it hasn't been like this sort of overwhelming pursuit. But again, I've also been told that this person in particular has been wrong often about things. So I don't know. It's just there's conflicting opinions right now about Arthur Kaluma.
Well, if your man's been wrong, if this person's been wrong on
and I can't get
multiple
into exactly,
things,
I can't get into who it is because I don't want to give up.
Hitman Hoops hadn't been too wrong too much.
Correct.
So again, I'm going to lean towards Hitman.
Agreed.
And the others that have sort of followed
that's totally
suit.
Totally fair.
That said,
I'm just kind of passing along. And I can't I know this sort of is very confusing because I can't reveal the person who told me, and I don't want to get into who it was. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Interesting, though, because, again, when you...
Right, it's not like one-way traffic, like, oh, it's Memphis.
Well, maybe they don't want to call one time because they say, here's what we got.
Right.
And nobody's going to touch this.
Totally.
And call us when y'all are ready.
No, I agree. Like, it doesn't really need to be this big recruiting pitch anymore.
Right.
You know?
Like you keep saying, it's just a bidding war, like we keep saying. It ain't about recruiting and telling you we're gonna finish you off right and we're gonna get you graduated and everything else. It's about the check and the NIL. So how much, you know, what kind of, you know, heavy pursuit do you really need other than letting them know how much you're paying?
Yeah, I think that's the key of it, right? You call, you say, hey, this is what we have to offer. This is what we can do. You know, this is what we are willing to do. You know, let us know what you think. Hit us back. We'll talk. I mean, it's really just that simple. You know, does it matter about like the academics? Does it matter about the facilities? Does it matter? No.
Well, they.
And by the way, it's going to be a data center, according to our listeners, not a plant.
Oh, a data center.
I don't know what a Tesla data center is.
Well, it's going to employ people. So either way, we're going to employ some Memphians. So we appreciate.
Well, not you,
Elon, for that.
You will not be applying. That's for damn sure.
No, I don't. It won't last. You know.
Oh, it won't last.
I don't know. It's not.
You will apply for Exxon. You'll be your first in line. we ever get an Exxon data center, ever get a damn Amoco, you'd be right there.
Trusted and proven.
Drill, baby, drill.
Hey, my man is the mayor of Citgo. That's right.
I wish I owned a gas station. Rich for life.
Yeah. You would just be using all of it. You're just like, gas, gas, gas. I love gas.
No, I can charge y'all whatever I want. Y'all going to pay it.
Yeah, you're the petrol man. Anyway, yeah, whoever it may be, whether it's Kaluma, Trayvon Brazil still out there, I mean, somebody is going to take the money.
Again, in this case, to keep the analogy, Arthur Kaluma is the gas we must have.
Correct.
Because if you don't get Kaluma, you can't go electric. There ain't nothing else out there.
Are you saying Trayvon Brazil is a Tesla, bro? I don't know about that. I think he might be like maybe.
Bro, I don't want Brazil, who you tell me is now a wing.
He is a wing. He's a stretch four.
That's not a wing. A stretch four is a stretch four. A wing is a wing.
Okay, well, fine. He's a stretch four.
But you're wanting to make him a wing in this conversation so that...
No, he wouldn't be a wing. He would be a four. He would be...
Exactly.
He'd play with...
That's why I want him and a wing.
Well, you're not
Kaluma
getting,
or
you're
whatever
not getting
else.
Both. You don't have the money.
Money-wise.
I mean, what do you think you are? You think you Elon over here? You think Memphis got Elon Musk NIL?
I'll just say, how many suitors does Brazil have? He wasn't that great last year. It doesn't seem like this is not Coleman Hawkins type deal where you get $2 million.
He'd be your second choice. He'd be you'd so play. You'd
slow play. That's my point, is that would be a fall off to me from what you can get with Kaluma.
I agree with
what
that.
What I'm getting with Brazil as a replacement for David Jones.
You know, Trayvon Brazil definitely did, I mean, again,
two years ago.
Yes.
What happened? What happened in Arkansas last year?
A lot of things
happened there, and it's real murky, and I don't want to get in it. You understand what I'm saying?
So Bart Torbeck,
stay out of that.
I just want to give you what the analytical side, because I had to listen to you for a whole entire hour talk about the FPI and S&P 500 and all that.
Very important stuff.
All right, so I'm going to give you the analytical view from Torvik.
Bart Torvik.
Right, and what Torvik thinks.
Why don't you just have
each.
Him on? You love him so much.
Is it Bart or Bart?
What's Bart.
Bart Torvik?
I've tried to reach out to him. It's unrequited love at this point. He has not responded. Uh-huh. I don't know if he's got something maybe against Jeff Goodman at the Field of 68 level. But I wanted to let him know it's not like that with me. I have nothing but love for you, bro. I'm not Jeff Goodman. I don't have all his, you know what I'm saying? I don't adopt all of his.
Saw you reach out to Goodman lately to do some of your recent bidding.
Yes.
Quotes.
Yes, I was told also that Jeff Goodman pays me to go at Penny.
I like that one. That's good. I didn't tell you that.
No.
That one's good.
No, in which case, I did let him know the invoice is due for May.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it has not hit my account yet. So if that is the case.
Where's that money?
Come on, dog. I was doing it in May, okay? I was. All right. I wrote the assistant column. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So... If this is going to happen,
real quick. I need these Torvik analytics that you've been teasing for a while here.
Yeah. Building up, brother. Mm-hmm. So if it's Kaluma,
Godfather was coming.
If it's Kaluma,
here we go.
As the addition, Memphis would be 23rd at Bart Torvik. Mm. If it's Brazil, Memphis would drop to 25.
Well, there's
so,
a difference.
I mean, a
slight.
It's about the difference between Penny and Silverfield's tenures.
It's not the same. That's what the analytics say.
Close.
Two spots. I mean,
close.
If it was Jameer Watkins, it'd be 19. David Jones would have them at 17. So he was higher on Memphis with David Jones, which is interesting. But again, we're talking about eight spots.
Yeah.
That's really not that much at the end of the day. You need to land one of those two, I'll tell you that, because that's when you're really getting into, you know what I'm saying, you're getting into the Ford electric at that point. You ain't even in the Teslas.
Don't we have enough money to get two?
No, you don't have. You can't get Kaluma and Brazil.
What kind of dough are these? I mean, these guys are asking for $750,000.
Yeah, I mean, Kaluma's asking for a ton. I mean, so both of them are. I don't think you're getting one. You're getting
my God.
You don't because combined. I mean, you'd just be shocked at some of the numbers.
We're out of the running for a guy like Hawkins. I mean, Jason, I asked Jason that. He said no.
Coleman Hawkins,
yeah. Not happening.
Yeah, Coleman Hawkins
said no way. $2 million.
He's going to like.
Is he
going to
get $2 million?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll get $2 million, but he'll get a ton. Yeah, he'll get a ton, and he already kind of hinted at it. Like he knows where he's going. He's going to Arkansas.
Damn it!
Yeah, I just love how
friggin' Arkansas.
I love that. By the way, I love that Cal gets this job at Arkansas. He's getting all the great players, and Kentucky's over here hoping that BYU guys leave the NBA draft. And it's just a joke. Kentucky's going to suck, dude. When I was in Illinois, I was hoping that Circa was hanging a no on to make the NCAA tournament for Kentucky. Because I was going to bet it, but they weren't. They weren't there yet. But I don't think they're going to make the tournament. I think they're going to stink.
No.
And I think Arkansas will be good. I think they'll pick up.
No question, Arkansas will be good.
Yeah, who they
loaded.
Got?
Loaded.
It's the number one transfer. It's the number one portal class in the country.
Boogie Flan, DJ Wagner. We think they're going to get Coleman Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm missing a big one.
Loaded, bro.
I feel like I'm missing one.
Yeah, you are. So another transfer, not just a freshman guy that they brought in. There's one more.
Kentucky's going to regret that move, right? They'll regret that move.
They already should.
They should.
In my opinion. I mean, they ran him out of there. And I get it. It was underwhelming. Look, it's possible that they weren't going to get this version of Cal, that he had to sort of have that fire reignited.
Right.
You
possible.
Know what, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Like, maybe it's sometimes like your relationships are just doomed to fail. But, you know, yeah, I mean, let's see. DJ Wagner, Big Z, Adu, and John L. Davis.
Adu from Tennessee.
Yeah, I forgot.
And Adu Thierro. They got John L. Davis. They got Adu. They got Big Z. They got Wagner.
I left out John L. Davis, too. He just came and just announced it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they're going to be loaded.
They're loaded. And they're going to go into Lexington. They're going to run them off the floor. And that's when those fans will know.
Kick their ass.
That's when those fans will know they made a mistake.
I'm high. I'm high on them. I'm high on them big time.
And John's so right. Like, John, Cal's reinvigorated.
It's a different dude than he was a year ago.
He's got something to prove now.
Yep.
And it's basically going to be proven. A lot of it's proven it to those Kentucky folks.
Well, and he's got another new booster in Hunt and some of these cats who are coming out of the woodwork now with big money.
Everybody's motivated.
Yeah, everybody, both sides.
Everybody's fired up at Arkansas now. And, I mean, I think John L. is probably the biggest ad. I mean, Coleman Hawkins, you get him, that's...
Holy mess.
I mean, I'll bet Arkansas will go to the Final Four at that point, because we know John L. can do it. And Coleman was one of the best players for Illinois last year. I mean, they got to an Elite Eight.
Bama will be good, too.
Yeah, Bama will be good. They got Sears back, but I think they overachieved.
Man, Sears went back. Love went back. Those were all Americans, and David Jones did not go back.
Correct.
They went and got that money, and David said no. Nah.
Right.
What the hell is he thinking?
He was the only one, bro, that was kind of in that boat.
And he was probably, I mean, I don't know what kind of combine Caleb Love and Sears had, but it felt like David Jones had among the worst in terms of performance.
He probably thought some of these dudes are going back. This is my opportunity, because a lot of them did go back.
They were second and third team All-American. You were honorable mention.
Yeah.
They're going back to get the cash. But for you, it was the wrong decision. That's why I just don't get it from a business standpoint.
I don't either. We'll see. I mean, you're starting to hear reports of people who have promises, like Devin Carter has a promise apparently in the lottery.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll find out that David Jones has one somewhere. And if he does, then I'll say, you know what? Okay. You know, you had the intel and you got it, and you know, that's a decision. You know, although I don't know. I mean, you probably can't turn down a guaranteed contract in the NBA, right? You just can't do that. But if you don't have that, yeah, we're going to scrutinize this for sure. But for Memphis, yes, Arthur Kaluma definitely, you know, depending on who you believe, is the target. Their pursuit, according to some, hot, according to others, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, and to your point, just kind of jive with what you said, maybe if it's either him or Brazil, too, you don't want to go all in on Kaluma, because what does that say to Brazil in terms of your decision?
Because if you know Kaluma's only,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You see what I'm saying?
He wants the biggest bag. I mean, he could use you. Yeah.
And that's our call.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be, you know, calling you 10 times a day.
Exactly.
Because we don't want Brazil to think, in the case that you don't pick us, that we weren't just as hot for him.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You kind of see it making some sense.
NBA Finals Game 1 is Thursday. Luka was asked just now if the long layoff between games has helped with his knee and ankle. He said it did not get any better, but it was great to get some rest. So we'll talk to Nick Friedell about that, get his thoughts on Porzingis, who's going to play this series, how the Mavs can win, how the Celtics can win, get into all that with him on the other side. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
All right, the wait is over. On the phones, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Now, Nick, my partner John Martin is back with me. So we are back at full strength following John's paternity leave. And it sounds like the Boston Celtics will be back at relatively full strength with Kristaps Porzingis back in the fold on Thursday, at least according to Shams. How much of a difference, Nick, are you expecting him to be in this series for the Boston Celtics, sir?
I think it's a huge difference. That's also why you make the big bucks, because you segue out of Tom's return.
No, baby.
And that is what it's all about right there. But, Doc, congratulations.
Thanks, brother.
And as far as Porzingis goes, I think it is huge, because this is the reason Brad Stevens made the move to get him here for these moments. It wasn't in the first round. It wasn't, you know, some regular season game in February. It was now. And so I thought the Celtics were going to win, all things being equal, already. If Porzingis is back and he looks anywhere close to what we're used to seeing, it's just another weapon to help Boston give Dallas another look. In the end, guys, I think that Boston just has too much ability to switch defensively. And when you're able to put somebody like Jrue Holiday, at least to start, on Luka, and then you got Jaylen Brown, and everybody can switch, I think that will be the difference in this series. But as far as Porzingis specifically, you plug him on the outside, he's able to stretch the floor. If he can move the same way, and that is crucial after all the time he's missed, but if he can, I think it is a big, big advantage for Boston.
So, like, the way I've been thinking about the Mavericks in my paternity time off, I've had a lot of time to reflect and ruminate on this, is like I almost sort of view Luka like Mahomes. Maybe Luka's not the best player in the NBA, although I think he's, you know, closing that gap with every game, it feels like, and where he is taking this team. But it's almost like, look, the Chiefs started the way they started in the NFL season. They were kind of rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, and then they just kind of got hot, and they were underdogs to the Baltimore Ravens. They were underdogs against the San Francisco 49ers, and it just did not matter, because at the end of the day, they had Mahomes and the other team did not. Is that potentially, you know, something we could see in this series, that yes, Boston has all the matchup advantages, they have all the, you know, length and everything, but they don't have 77?
I think it could happen, but as we're sitting here right now, still before it starts, I think Boston is deeper, although Dallas has shown certainly to have plenty of different weapons, especially off the bench. But I think the key is, and Stan Van Gundy's words in the last series are bouncing in my brain right now, because he's saying, okay, Luka and Kyrie are the most talented offensive backcourt we've ever seen. Okay, but my counterpoint to that, especially as we get into this series, is I don't think the gap between Luka and Kyrie is that much greater than where Tatum and Jaylen Brown are right now, because I think they're going to obviously give you something a little more defensively. Now, to the point about Luka, I mean, if we think that he is as good as he has appeared to be, certainly in that Minnesota series, and he takes another step, then yeah, the Mahomes comparisons are going to be very apt, because you're never going to be out of any game because you have that dude. As of right now, though, I think Boston is just a little bit more talented, and if Boston doesn't win it now, I don't know when they're going to be able to do it.
Right.
So everything lines up for them. They were built, again, by the moves Brad Stevens made in the last year, getting smart to Memphis, where you guys saw him a little bit, but then he got hurt, and making the moves that they did, it was for right now. Luka is a hell of a player, but I think his ability to carry the entire team past Boston with how talented they are, that would be a stretch right now.
Yeah, no, look, it would be a massive fumble, no question about it, if the Celtics can't cash in here, you know, getting the 5 seed in the finals. As great as they have played, you know, this is one of those years where everything has lined up. And by the way, like, I've seen a little bit of this on, and it's sort of just a social media thing, so it's not even probably worth bringing up, but it doesn't matter how you win a championship. If you win a championship, it's not going to matter that, the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler, that the Cavs, you know, didn't have Jared Allen and then, you know, Donovan Mitchell. It's not going to matter that the Pacers didn't have Halliburton. Like, you win a championship, that's what people remember, right? Like, it doesn't matter how, like, I can't tell you the Grizzlies could run through four teams of fifth graders. If they win the championship, they won the championship, and that's all that's going to matter at the end of the day, right?
Completely. I couldn't agree anymore. I always laugh when that part of the conversation comes up in a given year. Oh, they had an easy road. Well, who cares? The title is the ultimate stamp. It's like when pro teams make deals, and the one that pops to my mind is the Bucks trading first-round picks, 20-plus years ago to get John Gruden because they thought he was the missing piece to get that team that had Tony Dungy and had gotten so close over the top. Oh, man, they gave up a lot for Gruden. He's just a coach. Well, guess what? They won a Super Bowl. And in the end, it's the only thing that matters. So people can bounce off that storyline a lot before the finals. If Boston wins, the only thing anybody's going to care about 10, 20 years from now is that they finally got through with this group and that Tatum finally proved he could carry a team all the way through. So I could not agree with that point anymore because I think the other parts are a joke. Oh, well, this team didn't have this guy or that guy or this team. Nobody cares. Win the title. That's the end of the argument.
Talking, of course, to Nick Friedell here on J&J Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. You mentioned Tatum and him proving, right, that he can be the leader on a championship team. And it's weird to use the word legacy with a guy, 25, 26 years old when you've got so much more career ahead of you. But if he does win a finals MVP, and if it is indeed Tatum that's leading this team, how does that change sort of the narrative and conversation around him? I was listening to Greeny this morning, have Tatum outside of his top five in terms of best players in the league. Like, how much does a title and if he's actually led them to it as opposed to one of these other guys or the balance that they've got, how much does it change the story or move him up?
It's the ultimate validation in pro sports. If Tatum can finally break through, and they've been real close, obviously, a couple times already, then there's nothing else to say. I mean, that's the whole thing. When you're watching the NBA now, and I know Durant and plenty of other guys have discussed this, but it is all based on rings,
right?
The rings culture. That's legitimate. I mean, like, these guys in my time covering this league for all these years, these guys are not stupid. they understand how the narratives are built. They understand what people are saying. They know how much the playoffs are weighted compared to the day-to-day regular season games. It's why, and the three of us have talked about this now for a few months. It's why the NBA is I think, going to slide a little more in the regular season because fans, thanks in large part to the players playing and not playing, understand that the importance on the regular season that might have been there 10 or 15 years ago just isn't there anymore. So all of that being said, if Tatum carries Boston through and they win and he's the finals MVP, well, there's nothing else to do. That is the ultimate stamp for any NBA player. And in this day and age, when you are able to carry your team, win titles, potentially win finals MVPs, that is the last word. You can be a hell of a player and you can get your team into some playoff series. But if you don't win at all, there will always be that piece missing. And Jason, this goes back to Tatum, being 25, 26 years old. Like, he's still got time, certainly, if they don't win this time. But the difference now is, if you don't beat a 5 seed
right
in the finals, where you've had the road that they have had, then everybody's going to say, oh, well, he's a hell of a player, but he can't get him across the line. And that's the difference to me in the buildup of this series. If he can't do it now, he's going to have to face more questions than he ever has before.
I think one maybe undervalued piece of this Dallas run in the playoffs, Nick, has been the, I don't know if I'd say ascension, but maybe the progress it feels like that Jason Kidd has made as a head coach. I think by and large, NBA coaches are pretty, replaceable, save for a few. But I actually viewed coming into these playoffs, Jason Kidd as maybe a liability. And I would say in two of the three matchups that the Mavericks have played in thus far, I would have said he was the worst coach, whether it was to Ty Lue in the Clippers, whether it was to Dagnall there in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And against the Timberwolves maybe specifically, and OKC certainly, but against the Timberwolves specifically, like, he just threw so much stuff at them defensively that really flummoxed them. And then obviously beating them in five games is a massive underdog. Do you share the sentiment that Jason Kidd has, you know, shown some progress and gotten better as a coach? Like, is that part of all of this as well?
I don't think there's any question. And I was right there with you with Jason Kidd. For years, I was kind of like, all right, well, it seems that he's respected by players, but his teams never really do anything and never really elevate to this kind of level. But when you take a 5 seed to the NBA Finals, you know, yep. Congratulations. You have ramped up your stock in a major way. And this is what I would say about Jason Kidd, and I would tie it into at least the way I've viewed coaches for a long, long time is – it's all in the NBA about ego management. And what I give Jason Kidd a hell of a lot of credit for is that team was just getting destroyed at the end of last year. Everybody was ready to write off Luka and Kyrie together. It doesn't work. They're tanking their way out of the play-in. Things were bad in Dallas. The ultimate sign of knowing whether or not a coach in the NBA has the respect of his players is if they can tune out all the noise that is around them, and there's noise on every team, but certainly on a team that makes that kind of move to get Kyrie and then miss the way they did at the end of last year, to refocus the group in there, to get the pieces in place, like the Washingtons, and you know, you get Gafford, you're getting these guys in who are making a difference, and you're weaving them into the framework of Luka as the guy and getting Kyrie to believe that he's the second guy on the team, but he can make a difference every night. I mean, that is coaching. And Nico Harrison and that front office deserve a lot of credit for making the moves that they did. But Jason Kidd getting it to work almost on the fly in the last year plus, absolutely, he has raised his own stock in the game, and I think you're going to view him differently now, certainly, than you would have before in seasons past.
What about Mazzulla for you, Nick, in terms of, you know, what he can add? You know, obviously impressive. He's 35 years old. You've got the Celtics at this point right on the precipice of a championship. But in terms of what you've watched from him, if he wins this, are we going to crown him as one of those guys? Or, I mean, just looking at this realistically, are we going to say, man, Brad Stevens did you a hell of a favor and go out and loading this team up the way he did with Porzingis, and you get a champion in Drew Holiday? Like, how much is to be gained in terms of what we say about his coaching ability with a championship? How are we going to be able to tell?
I think that's a really good question. And what I would say is, as far as Mazzulla goes, the story arc with Mazzulla to this point is he took over a ready-made champion. It was Brad Stevens. They get Ime Udoka in there. Everybody loves him, and then he completely demolishes his own chance by doing what he did off the floor,
yep.
And then they have to start over. But in this, a lot of what I would say about Mazzulla also ties into the same points about Jason Kidd in that, hey, that team could have slid, and they could have just said, it's not going to work. And there were certainly voices in the league after Mazzulla's first year that were like, I don't know if this guy's ready. To his credit, he grew within the job. He got guys to believe in the system that he was trying to put forth, even if it was a continuation of the Stevens, Ime stuff over the last 2 years, and they play at a high level. I mean, that, guys, to me, again, this is always the tell with coaches. Do they play hard for that coach every night?
Yeah.
And the three of us could go down the list in the NBA right now. That is not always the case. I mean, we know the teams and the coaches that do, and we know the ones that don't. And from a distance, watching the Celtics this year, it seemed like every night they were putting forth a professional effort. You top that off with the talent they got, And you mentioned Holiday. I think that is crucial in all this, especially in a series like they're getting into right now. If you make the right moves as a front office, you have the talent, and then you add a coach, young or old, who can get the buy-in from the rest of the group, you've got an equation for success. And Mazzulla is going to earn the respect that has been due to him if you go win a title, and even more. I think it's very clear to everybody around the NBA, that team is ready-made to go do it a few more times. Sure, it's just that they can't get across the line yet.
Right.
But that could obviously change in the next couple weeks.
Last thing, Nick. Kyrie Irving's brilliance in this postseason has been just a blast to watch, undeniably so. Yeah. And now you're going to hear a lot about his tenure in Boston. Just reflecting on that, because I'll be honest, I don't remember much about it. I mean, I remember that it didn't go well.
Remember the sage?
What was the problem? Was it just Kyrie maybe at that time in his life was not maybe, prepared from a maturity standpoint? He had to kind of go through the things he went through. Like, what didn't go right for him in Boston?
I think when you talk to people that were around that team specifically, it started with Kyrie saying, I want to be here forever. If you guys will have me, I want to stay with the Celtics and be here. And for that first year, it was like, hey, everything's great. And then it just spiraled. And this has been the knock on Kyrie, no matter where he went. You know, Cleveland, things are great, and then boom, they're not. Boston, it happened in Brooklyn. I think with Boston specifically, though, he just didn't have at that point in time that second guy that he felt like he could lean on. And when he is not locked in with some other veteran guys who he trusts, it's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
I mean, I watched it firsthand every day in Brooklyn, and he had Durant there, but he and Harden didn't get along, and there was always a reason why. To his credit, guys, and Kyrie deserves a hell of a lot of credit in this sense, all of what had transpired in Brooklyn, in Cleveland, certainly in that moment in time in Boston, almost all of it was self-inflicted. Like, there were mistakes that he made that really screwed up his performance on the floor. And this year, my running assumption, knowing how things operate for him day to day, or seem to in that Brooklyn scenario, I just think somebody got through to him in his inner circle and said, hey, look, you cannot handle things the way that you are and continue to have some kind of success. I mean, the league wasn't ready to write him off, because I think we all agree the talent was always incredible. It was just all the stuff off the floor became such a distraction. And I say all of that to say this. Kyrie, I heard him say 100 different times, I'm an artist on the floor. And people would roll their eyes and go, what in the world? What is this guy talking about? But there is a truth to him in that when he has another guy in – in Cleveland, it was LeBron, and in Brooklyn, it was KD. When he has that other guy that he trusts, I think he can take his game to a different place. And when he is being a good role model for the younger guys who always seem to love him, certainly in Brooklyn, and points in time in Boston, everything falls into place. But I think the missing piece in that Boston equation in that moment was that Tatum and Brown were maybe on the way, but they weren't his equal. I mean, he was just a cut above everybody else. Now with Luka, Kyrie is a very smart player. He knows how great Luka is, and he trusts him the same way, to me watching him, that he trusted a LeBron and he trusted a KD.
Nick, great stuff, man. Appreciate you, brother. Enjoy
Thanks,
the finals,
man.
Brother.
You got it, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. They are, as you know, equipped for adventure. Appreciate Nick Friedell.
Yeah, good stuff. I was actually looking up Kyrie's tenure in Boston was not as disastrous as I maybe in my head thought. I mean, they won.
They beat Boston 1 year in the playoffs, and I want to say lost to them the next year.
Yeah, so they. Kyrie got hurt at the end of his first season.
Okay,
and they took the Cavs to seven, In the conference finals.
Right. I want to say they had beaten Boston in that and dispatched Boston earlier in those playoffs and then lost to them the next year. I could be completely wrong, but I want to say he faced Boston twice.
Kyrie?
Yeah.
Oh, in the Cleveland uniform, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. But I was just talking about his...
Oh, you're talking about his 2 years in Boston.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I'm confused.
I was talking about it because again, you're going to hear the talk about it.
Yeah, he's all week long.
Maybe it just feels like people are maybe being a little bit more dramatic about that time than...
Remember, there's the issues of coming back when he wasn't net. That's what I'm talking about. Played Boston twice.
Yes.
And, you know, he stepped on the leprechaun. He had the bottle of water thrown at him. This is after his time in Boston,
but
he threw finger signs to the crowd. That's what he's been asked about, a ton now. And after the time in Boston.
Right.
Which Nick is absolutely right about, and you and I discussed it then. He could not lead that young locker room.
Correct. And it was.
And Nick
was
made it clear there was nobody on his level at that point. And he was saying these young guys got to come on and calling them out more so as opposed to, finding a different way to lead them. It didn't work out. And then, where I was confused, it was after when he's with the Nets that he faced Boston twice. You're saying wasn't so bad those 2 years in Boston.
Yeah, it was maybe not what people hoped it would be. But it wasn't like that bad.
It just, the timelines were off.
Exactly.
And he was not ready enough to lead.
Yeah, because, he was only what? This was 7 years ago, so he would have only been
very young.
25 himself, So, no doubt. It just wasn't the right timeline. Al Horford was there, believe it or not.
Yeah, he was.
That was it, though.
And still hadn't, Horford trying to get his first ring.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Him and, trying to get his first ring. Most games play without a ring.
All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, on Eastern FM, ESPN. We are wrapping up here on a Tuesday. We'll get out of your way, and then it'll be Jeffrey and Company, which debuted yesterday. The company at the moment is Connor Dunning. So make sure you tune in and see what Jeffrey and Connor have to say. Have you watched any, by the way, of the College Baseball World Series?
No, told you I've been watching Eric.
Okay.
And an old show on Netflix called Your Honor.
Okay. Have you heard of Baby Reindeer?
No.
You need to check out Baby Reindeer. That's one of the few shows I actually did start during paternity leave.
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yep. It's about this big bone woman who stalks her lover.
Oh, my wife was watching it. And he's all weird, like a nerd.
Yeah, he kind of enjoys it. Yeah. He kind of enjoys it.
But he has a weird little... He's got some secrets, too.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got that far. He does. He does.
Yes,
that's right. He does.
Yeah. And I said, I'm not watching any more of this, Faith.
And then they find...
That's what I told her about reindeer.
And then the secrets converge.
Yeah, she's really weird.
Your wife or...
No. Little baby reindeer. Ain't that her?
Yeah. She's definitely a maniac. There's no question about that.
Right.
But that was one show that I did.
Faith tried to get me on that. I wasn't buying in.
Yeah, I could see that.
Try Eric. You need to give it a shot. And are we going to go in on this Clippers thing on Hulu? Are we going to watch it? Lawrence Fishburne playing Doc.
Y'all told me Showtime was the best show that ever was created, and it got canceled after a season. So I'm just not sure.
No, it did 2 years.
Okay, two
and
years.
And the first years, Harrington's point out, was legendary.
Yeah, so, I just don't know if I can really do it again. I don't know if I can go back in. But, yeah, I'll check it out for sure, just to see what it's all about. I don't really remember a whole lot about
it. What's my guy, Al Bundy's real name?
Al Bundy?
From Married with what's called? The actor.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Come on. Ed something, isn't it?
I just know him as Al. He's in Modern Family, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, Ed something, right? I think, is he not playing Shapiro?
Ed O'Neill.
He looks like he's playing Shapiro. Good job.
Yeah, I just Googled
One of my random references, you managed to pull it up.
Well, I just Googled Al.
Pretty sure he's playing Donald Sterling.
Is that so?
It looks like him.
Okay.
It looks like him. Could be lying to you. Could be a different white man.
Okay.
But it looks like Ed O'Neill.
That's
it. Looks like my former... Al Bundy.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into this.
I know Fishburne's in it playing Doc Rivers.
Clipped. That's it, right?
Yes.
That's him, yeah. He's Donald Sterling. Lawrence Fishburne's Doc. Ed O'Neill is Donald Sterling.
Who plays V? Who turned him in? Had the tape.
Cleopatra Coleman.
Huh.
Yeah. Alvin Gentry is in here. Petri Bird is... That's going to be... let's see. Anybody else I recognize?
Alvin Gentry.
Austin Scott as Blake Griffin. Charlie McElveen as J.J. Redick. So there are some.
Hold up. So the real Alvin Gentry's in it?
Well, he's no.
No, someone's playing Alvin Gentry.
LeVar Burton is in this.
LeVar's playing Alvin Gentry?
LeVar Burton is playing himself. So I'm not sure what LeVar Burton's connections are to this, folks.
What network is this on?
I believe it's Hulu.
On Hulu.
You know, over the break, I think I've already told you I'm a cord cutter now. I cut.
Yeah, but you have no YouTube home. TV though.
Yeah, I've got Hulu.
Yeah, YouTube TV.
I've got
have
Hulu.
All that.
I got Netflix.
But they don't have
TV.
Bally's still, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, yeah, but nobody has Bally's anymore.
That's why he'll be on trial.
Nobody has it. Who has Bally's?
Yeah,
I do because it's DirecTV Stream,
and you're going to need it at some point. If I want Bally's, DirecTV Stream, good to go.
Yeah, but you're going to be a little higher than where you are with YouTube.
You could just get it independently. You could just order Bally's on your smartphone.
But then you
got
to deal with that terrible app.
Yeah, the app's bad.
Pointed out.
Yeah. I might be willing to hook you guys up with an NBA League Pass VIP account where you can watch stuff in market.
Ew.
But it's going to really depend on how you guys treat me over the next 4 months.
How have
Boy, that doesn't help him with
days.
His Cardinals. It only helps with the Grizzlies.
Again, 2 days, 4 months.
How's our treatment been okay?
Today's been good, but again, we have a lot more to go.
Yeah.
So it's just going to depend on how you guys treat me.
Words to say.
Yeah. So anyway, Jeffrey and Company up next. Thanks to Jessica Benson. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone. We are wrapping up here on a Tuesday. We'll get out of your way, and then it'll be Jeffrey and Company, which debuted yesterday. The company at the moment is Connor Dunning. So make sure you tune in and see what Jeffrey and Connor have to say. Have you watched any, by the way, of the College Baseball World Series?
No, told you I've been watching Eric.
Okay.
And an old show on Netflix called Your Honor.
Okay. Have you heard of Baby Reindeer?
No.
You need to check out Baby Reindeer. That's one of the few shows I actually did start during paternity
leave.
It's
on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yep. It's about this... big bone woman who stalks her lover.
Oh, my wife was watching it. And he's all weird, like a nerd.
Yeah, he kind of enjoys it. Yeah, he kind of enjoys
it. But he has a weird little, he's got some secrets too.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got that far.
Okay, well,
he does. He does.
Yes,
that's right, he does.
Yeah. And I said, you know what?
And
I'm not watching any more of this, Faith.
And then they find.
That's what I told her about reindeer.
And then the secrets converge.
Yeah, she's really weird.
Your wife or
no? Little baby reindeer, ain't that her?
Yeah. She's definitely a maniac. There's no question about that.
Right.
But that was one show that I did.
Faith tried to get me on that. I wasn't buying in.
Yeah, I could see that.
Try Eric. You need to give it a shot. And are we going to go in on this Clippers thing on Hulu? Are we going to watch it? Lawrence Fishburne playing Doc.
Y'all told me Showtime was the best show that ever was created, and it got canceled after a season. So. I'm just not sure.
No, it did 2 years.
Okay, two years.
And the first year, as Harrington's point out, was legendary.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just don't know if I can really do it again. I don't know if I can go back in. But, yeah, I'll check it out for sure, just to see what it's all about. I don't really remember a whole lot about
it. What's my guy, Al Bundy's real name?
Al Bundy?
From Married with what's called? You know, the actor.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Come on. Ed something, isn't it?
I just know him as Al. He's in Modern Family, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, Ed something, right? I think, is he not playing Shapiro?
Ed O'Neill.
He looks like he's playing Shapiro. Good job.
Yeah, I just Googled
One of my random references, you managed to pull it up.
Well, I just Googled Al.
Pretty sure he's playing Donald Sterling.
Is that so?
It looks like him.
Okay.
It looks like him. Could be lying to you. Could be a different white man.
Okay.
But it looks like Ed O'Neill.
That's
looks like my former... Al Bundy.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into this. I know
Fishburne's in it playing Doc Rivers.
Clipped. That's it, right?
Yes.
That's him, yeah. He's Donald Sterling. Lawrence Fishburne's Doc. Ed O'Neill is Donald Sterling.
Who plays V? Who turned him in? Had the tape.
Cleopatra Coleman.
Huh.
Yeah. Alvin Gentry is in here. Petri Bird is. That's going to be. Let's see. Anybody else I recognize?
Alvin Gentry.
Austin Scott as Blake Griffin. Charlie McElveen as J.J. Redick. So there are some...
Hold up. So the real Alvin Gentry's in it?
Well, he's... No, no.
No, someone's playing Alvin Gentry.
LeVar Burton is in this.
LeVar's playing Alvin Gentry?
LeVar Burton is playing himself. So I'm not sure what LeVar Burton's connections are to this, folks.
What network is this on?
I believe it's Hulu.
FX on Hulu.
You know, over the break, I think I've already told you I'm a cord cutter now. I cut.
Yeah, but you can. You have no YouTube home. TV though.
Yeah, I've got Hulu.
Yeah, YouTube TV.
I got
have
Hulu.
All that.
I got Netflix.
But they don't have
TV.
Valleys still, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, yeah, but nobody has Valleys anymore.
That's why he'll be on trial.
Nobody has. Who has Valleys?
Yeah,
I do because it's DirecTV Stream.
And you're going to need it
so
at some point. If I want Bally's, DirecTV Stream, good to go.
Yeah, but you're going to be a little higher than where you are with YouTube.
You could just get it independently. You could just order Bally's on your smartphone.
But then you
got
to deal with that terrible app.
Yeah, the app's
John's
bad.
Pointed out.
Yeah. Look, I might be willing to hook you guys up with an NBA League Pass VIP account where you can watch stuff in market.
Ew.
But it's going to really depend on how you guys treat me over the next 4 months.
How have
well, that doesn't help him with
days.
His Cardinals. It only helps with the Grizzlies.
Again, 2 days, 4 months.
How's our treatment been okay?
Today's been good, but again, we have a lot more to go.
Yeah.
So it's just going to depend on how you guys treat me.
Words to say.
Yeah. So anyway, Jeffrey and Company up next. Thanks to Jessica Benson. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.